Some weeks, people avoid me, and I'm very scary. I'm a scary therapist. And then other weeks, people come like a moth to the flame. So this week was one of those, which is great, because I think, yeah, take advantage of some free counseling. But unfortunately, I have limited time and resources, which is kind of what we're talking about today. And how do you take care of yourself and try to take care of others as best as possible without burning yourself out? Good to see you all. Thanks for joining today. So today we're talking about boundaries. And yeah, I like to kind of put up, I just went on Pinterest and looked up boundaries, and there's all these all these things that people have made. And we'll be talking about things like this, like sometimes I forget putting myself first isn't selfish but necessary. So we'll talk about why that is today. Also, people learn how to treat you based on what you accept from them. And so we'll also talk about, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves and our decisions and letting other people take responsibility for themselves and their decisions. And even as you read these, you might have some reactions. You might be like, no, that's not true. Or you might be like, oh, okay. And whatever responses, reactions you have are totally fine and welcome here. And I always like to start my seminar with giving permission. So I give you all permission to disagree with me. I give you permission to have reactions, because this is, boundaries are something that is deeply personal, and it really does affect our closest relationships, and it really affects our lives. So it's understandable that people might sometimes have strong feelings about them. And I really do invite, if I'm saying something that you're just like, I do not see how that works or how that is true, I would so much rather you raise your hand and say that or ask further questions than just be like, well, this lady doesn't know what she's talking about, so I'm just going to check out and think about, you know, what I'm going to do this afternoon instead. I'd so much rather you just say, like, I don't really see how that works, because then that also tells me, oh, maybe I need to explain this differently or better. So I fully invite that feedback. And just for you to be honest about where you're at with this material. So does that sound good? Permission to feel and respond however you are, because that's reality. So when you guys hear the word boundaries, what are some things that come to mind for you when you hear that word? And you can just call them out.
Learning how to say no.
Learning how to say no, yep. That's good.
Limits.
Limits, uh-huh. That's another synonym for boundaries.
Anything? I think of a fence around the backyard.
Fence around the backyard. Have you read the book? No? Oh, that's like the perfect like metaphor that they use. Yeah, so that's a very literal boundary, right? A physical boundary. Yeah, anything else that comes to mind? Those are good ones. You're allowed to say if there's kind of a more negative word, that's okay too. Some people, one person a couple weeks ago said restrictive, and I was like, yeah, okay, we're getting real now, okay? Because sometimes it does feel restrictive. I haven't ever had someone in here say it, but with clients one-on-one, they've had the word unloving come up. And that's, like I said up front, you know, this can feel very counterintuitive. How can not doing something for someone or saying no, how can that be loving? And so I hope that as we talk about this, that'll become a little more clear. So let's talk about what a boundary is, and then we'll talk about what it isn't, because sometimes we do have some interesting ideas for lots of valid reasons. So very simply, a boundary, it distinguishes one thing from another. And the example of a fence, you know, if you're a homeowner or a renter, how do you know, you know, if you have a yard and you have a neighbor, how do you know where your property ends and theirs begins? Usually there's a fence. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes you just kind of know, well, this is kind of where our property ends. And my friend just bought property kind of in the mountains, and he's been meeting his new neighbors, And he keeps saying to me, like, good fences make good neighbors, because when you're not sure what's yours and what's not yours, it can get a little sticky. So maybe you've experienced that if you've ever bought property or anything like that. So quite literally, it distinguishes one thing from another. What's yours, what's mine? Another way, a less literal way to think of it, is what is and what is not okay. And so for you, it might be, you know, if any of you have had children or worked with children, you know, you've probably experienced that they don't always know what's okay and what's not. And as adults, we help them to know. You know, kids don't know until we tell them, like, yeah, it's actually not really okay to push someone when they don't give you what you want. So we tell them, like, hey, you know, that's not okay. That's not appropriate. That's not how you deal with your frustration. That's a boundary. So we're saying what is and what is not okay. And this might look different for every person. There might be things that I'm okay with in terms of my relationships or my work-life balance or whatever other area that maybe some of you are like, oh, no, I would not be cool with that. And so this could vary from person to person. Boundaries are a way of having respect for ourselves and for others. So it's saying I respect myself enough to, you know, to honor what I need, but I also care about others, but I also respect them enough to be the masters of their lives. Because we'll talk about what are some common boundary violations. And sometimes one of those violations is taking responsibility for other people. And a distinction here, there's a difference between being responsible for someone and being responsible to someone. And so all of us have responsibilities to people, whether it's your children, your spouse, your family, a teammate, a housemate, whatever it might be. You know, we do have responsibilities to people. You know, I've had roommates and it's like, yeah, I'm responsible to them to pull my weight in the house, to clean up after myself, but I am not responsible for them. So if someone that we're close to, you know, makes a decision that blows up in their face, you know, we're not responsible for that because ultimately they're the ones who made the decision. They're the ones who, you know, did the behavior. And a lot of times we take responsibility for people and for their feelings. And so we'll tease that out a little bit more, but just the difference, because people could just say, oh, well, you know, you're you and I'm me and you can't hold me accountable. And no, that's not boundaries. That's avoidance. So that's not what we're talking about here. So I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Boundaries are also, it's taking responsibility for your own life and letting others take responsibility for theirs. And so another boundary violation, it can look like us not taking responsibility for our lives by blaming or being a victim, you know. And there is some reality. I used to work with foster youth, and, you know, they had a really rough start in life. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, it's understandable that you get angry really quickly and that you have a hard time staying calm. Totally makes sense. At the same time, you are still responsible for your actions. You know, if you assault someone, we still have to call the sheriff. Like, you know, the law doesn't really care why you get angry, and that's reality. So, you know, having compassion, but still letting people, you know, experience the consequences of their behavior. Boundaries, they're also, it's something that keeps the good in and the bad out. Good boundaries, they keep the good with you and they keep the bad out. And boundaries are not supposed to be super stiff and rigid. Boundaries need to breathe. If you're a science person, it needs to be a semi-permeable membrane where things can move from one side to the other, but with discernment. It's not, you don't want it to just be wide open so that anything can just come in and out, but you don't want it to be so rigid that you keep everything out. So it's kind of like a fence with a gate that can open and close when you choose. Because maybe, you know, you don't want your neighbor's dog in your yard all the time, but you do like your neighbor and you want them to be able to come over. So And boundaries can also shift over time. Sometimes we may need to set a boundary with someone for a season. And then, or maybe we need to set a boundary with our time for a while. Maybe you have a lot going on and you just really don't have any other time or energy to give. So maybe for a few months, you know, while you're working on a certain project or work's extra crazy or your kids are doing a lot of stuff, maybe for a season, you have to say, I have to say no to everything else right now. But in 2 months, my life will open up and that can change. So I think a lot of times people are scared that, like, well, if I set this now, it always has to be there. No, no, no. Boundaries can move. They're supposed to be fluid because they're there for you. They're not, there's no point in just having a boundary for the sake of having a boundary. It has to serve a purpose. If we want to get biblical, boundaries are letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And it's saying no to bad, but also sometimes good things, so you can focus on more important good things. And so sometimes I'm so guilty of saying yes to too many good things. I have a lot of interests. I have my own practice, which I love. I love my work, but I'm also a musician, and I've lived in Santa Cruz for 14 years, so I have a lot of connections. I'm a worship leader. I've been in ministry, so I get asked to do a lot of ministry stuff, which I love, but then I'll say yes to too many things, and then I don't enjoy any of it because I'm not even being present where I am. I'm just like, okay, well, this is great, but I can't really get into a good conversation with this person because I need to start thinking about the set I need to make for next week, and then I need to go here, and I need to do that. And so I've realized I need to say no to good things sometimes in order to focus on what's most important. And then also saying no to bad things, which seems really obvious, but again, and tomorrow we'll talk more about, you know, so how do we actually put our boundaries into place? And we'll talk more about, well, how do you know what's a good or bad thing? And I totally forgot to say it from up front, but we are going to kind of do a two-part thing between today and tomorrow. All summer, some people have come to both, some people have just come to one or the other, and that's fine. So today we're really defining what is a boundary and what are common issues people have, and then tomorrow we'll really get practical and like, okay, so how do we actually do this? Because it's all well and good to talk about it in theory, but how do we actually start doing this? So boundaries are not division, and sometimes that's hard for us to wrap our heads around because when I say a fence, like that's literally, it's dividing something, right? But remember, it's a fence with a gate. And sometimes we need that initial separation for greater closeness in our relationships. And I use a lot of personal examples because I think it's hard to really get what that looks like without an example, and I don't mind sharing. But I had to set some boundaries with my father a few years ago because he was very angry, and he lives in San Diego, and every time I'd visit him and stay with him, like, he would just blow up at me. And it wasn't necessarily because I was doing anything wrong, it's just he was just very angry and I was a good target. And so I had to kind of set a boundary and say, you know, I want to still come see you. Obviously, I want to have a good relationship with you. But this is really like making it hard to like have a relationship with you and to enjoy my time with you because I'm always like worrying when the shoe's going to drop, you know? And so I said, I'm going to still come visit you, but I'm going to stay with my sister or I'm going to stay with a friend and I'll just come over and hang out with you. And he got upset with that. And that seemed like division. It seemed like I was pulling away. But if I hadn't done that and I had just toughed it out and been like, well, it's not nice to not stay with him. That's mean. I would have been so much more resentful of him. I would have been on edge every time we were together, and I wouldn't have enjoyed any of that time. There could have been more blow-ups and more hurts. You know, for a few years, I didn't stay with him. And this last year, I started staying with him and my stepmom again, and it's been really good. Our relationship has healed, and I don't think that that would have been possible if I hadn't had that initial separation or pulling back. And so that's what I mean when I say sometimes you need that initial separation for greater closeness later on. And that's something, again, that can feel paradoxical. And I'll probably refer to that example a lot because that was probably one of the most clear examples of boundaries in my life. But that wasn't division. I wasn't trying to cut my dad off or anything like that. Boundaries are not selfishness. And again, it can feel really selfish if someone asks us for something or to help out in a certain way and we say no, that can feel selfish. But it's, you know, sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not. And, you know, it's okay to take care of ourselves. You know, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so if it's as ourselves, there has to be a certain level that we love and care for ourselves first, right? And so we do need to take care of ourselves first. And my favorite metaphor is the oxygen mask. You know, if you've ever been on an airplane, they do the whole safety briefing, and they always say, you know, if you're traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance, what do they say? Put yours on first. Why do they tell you to put yours on first? Exactly. Yeah, if you're passed out from oxygen depletion, you can't help anyone else. So it's the same with other things. If we are burnt out and exhausted, we are not going to be very effective with other people. We're not going to be the best parents we can be, or spouses or friends or workers. So just saying yes to everything is not actually in everyone's best interest. So I kind of think of it, you know, I have a limit when I see clients. I know kind of where I start to hit my wall of being emotionally present and available for people. And I love my work, and it actually does energize me. But sometimes it does. Like, I can see about 5 people in a row, and then I'm like, I need to, like, turn my brain off for a little while. And if I don't do that, if I don't hold that boundary, if I'm like, oh, but this person really needs to see me, and the only time that works for them is that 6th slot, every once in a while I might do that, but I know that is not a good practice for me. And it's actually not in the best interest of my client, because they're going to kind of get a half-baked Ariana, like where I'm just like, I'm here, but I'm not here. So setting, again, me saying no, it's not selfish. It's because I want to be at my best for my clients, because I feel like they deserve that. My first client of the day and my last client of the day deserve the same level of care from me. And so I need to create a schedule and set boundaries in a way that will allow me to do that. So you guys can maybe think about what does that look like for you and your work and your relationships. So that's why it's not selfish. Also, if you've ever said yes to something that you didn't really want to say yes to, like a person asks you to do something and you're like, yeah, sure, but you're like, I really don't want to do this, how do you feel towards that person? What was that? Resentful. Usually, yes, when we say yes to people, when we really want to say no, often we feel resentment, which again, like, no judgment, I have been there. You know, when you think about it, it's really, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves, right? Because it's like, we're the ones who said yes, so why am I mad at this person? But it still happens, even if it's not logical. And so if I'm saying yes to everyone and getting resentful towards everyone, is that really that great for them or our relationship? Probably not. And so sometimes saying no, you know, that's actually going to preserve my relationship, preserve my energy so that I can be more effective, preserve my energy so I can be a better friend to that person. So again, that's another reason why it's not selfish, because if you're just walking around with all these burdens and all these resentments, you know, that's not the heart that Christ wants for us either. And so that's why, again, it is not selfish. I can't say that enough. Boundaries are not an ultimatum. It's not a way to manipulate or punish others. So it's not always saying, you know, we don't use it as a manipulation. Sometimes we do play out the logical consequences. Again, if you've worked with children or have children, most likely you've had some sort of conversation of like, okay, well, if you don't do your chores, then this is going to happen. So you like play it out for them, which is very good because children need to learn, like as adults, if we don't go to work, we don't get paid, you know? So we teach children like, okay, but if you don't do this or if you do this, this is kind of what's going to happen. And that's very appropriate, but we don't use it in a manipulative way of like, oh, well, if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to have to put up my boundary and not do this for you. And if it's done with that heart of trying to control others, that is not a healthy boundary. That's manipulation. So that's another reason why boundaries can be so tricky is on the surface, two people might say the exact same thing, but the heart behind it and the motivation behind it might be totally different. And so one might be a very healthy, clear boundary. Another might be manipulative. And so that's also where this can get fuzzy and where people can be like, oh, well, someone set boundaries with me and it did not feel very loving. It may have been because it was more of an ultimatum or something like that. So does that make sense? I know, I feel like, I've been teaching on this for a few years now and I still am like, oh my gosh, it's so, like, there's so many layers. And then boundaries are not a brick wall. Remember we talked about, just keep in your mind that fence with that door that latches and can even lock if you need to, but you can always open it up again when you want. So it's not a brick wall that is unscalable and has no openings. And we'll talk about why that's actually not really good for us. And sometimes I've noticed that a lot of people will swing to extremes. If they go from like having very poor boundaries and then they start realizing like, oh my gosh, I've just been saying yes to everyone and everything and I feel taken advantage of and used. When they start learning about boundaries, sometimes they'll swing to the other extreme, the brick wall extreme, and start using the word boundary as a way to avoid that responsibility to others. My sister dated this guy for a while who, he had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of mental health diagnoses and a lot of trauma. And so he would talk about, sometimes he would just, have a flashback or something and kind of be incapacitated, which is totally real. But he would start using, boundary as a way to not show up for her at all. He'd promise to come help her move, and then he would just say, like, well, I just really need to take care of myself, and that's my boundary. And that was, like, the buzzword to where, if I say boundary, you can't challenge me, And that's not okay. And absolutely, there are times where you make a commitment, and for one reason or another, it's okay to back out. I've done that. But when it's like, oh, but this kind of happens 90% of the time, that tells me it's probably not all legit, or that person really is just so unable to function in the world that maybe they shouldn't be in a relationship like that. Or the person they're with just needs to adjust their expectations. There's not one right way. But we can use boundary as a like, oh, but you have to respect my boundaries, so don't ask anything of me. And that's, again, that's not a boundary. That's avoidance a lot of the time. So, but people can swing from one to the other because they realize I have been so used and, I feel like I've been a doormat that, we kind of get, sometimes we get angry, which is not a bad thing. Tomorrow we'll talk about feelings and how it's important to be aware of our feelings because that's going to inform us what our boundaries are. But then sometimes that does propel people to be too extreme. So we want to hang out in the middle. Again, we want that door to open and close. So boundaries, they come up in our relationships, how we use our time, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat others. And so some other really simple examples are just saying, I'm going to go to bed by 11 o'clock every weeknight because I need to get my sleep on track. That's a boundary that you set for yourself. Hopefully to, and not to be restrictive and because you don't want to have any fun, but because you know that your life will be better if you have a good sleep schedule. In terms of our church involvement. Maybe you say, you know, I really want to serve my church and I want to be involved in my community, but I'm only going to serve one or two times a month, or maybe once every other month, because maybe you have kids and you work and there's just so much. And I have seen people who give everything to the church, and it's like, that's great. Like, yes, we love the church, but then they never have time for their kids. And tomorrow we'll talk about also prioritizing and how that's going to help us know what our boundaries are. So again, like, maybe that person, their kids aren't a higher priority than the church, but I'm guessing if you ask them, they'd say, oh, of course, my kids come first. I think most people would say that. So again, saying, you know, I'm only going to serve at the church one or two times a month because that's important, but I also need time for other things in my life that are also important. Another boundary is not letting your kid run out into the street, into traffic. Like, that one seems pretty obvious, right? Most people would not just be like, oh, they'll probably figure out how to not get hit by cars. Like, no, if you see your kid running for the street, you're, you know, you have that panic. I, like, watched that happen. I was sitting outside somewhere, and I saw a kid, like, just running, and I was like, where's the parent? Where's the parent? Where's the, like, and I was, like, about to, like, go, but then I saw, like, a woman chasing after the kid, and she got him, but I was just like, oh my gosh, like, so yeah, that is a boundary, and again, I don't think anyone would call that unloving, so that's, like, a very extreme example I give to help people to see, like, boundaries aren't all bad, they're not all restrictive, they are actually very loving, because you're, like, not wanting people to do things to harm themselves or you, and a very extreme example is not letting your kid do something that could lead to severe bodily harm, right? So that's a boundary. And we also see boundaries in the Bible. And I'm always interested when I talk to clients who really do need to set boundaries with, you know, certain friends or family members in their life. And, you know, I suggest, like, well, what would it be like if you just said no and you didn't do that? And several times, I hear chuckles. they say, but, you know, I want to love them the way God loves them. And I'm like, interesting. Let's unpack that. So that leads me to think that they think saying no is not God-like, not Christ-like. And I don't agree with that. If you have read the Gospels, it is very clear that Jesus was not a people pleaser. How many people got angry at Jesus? So many. They got so angry that they crucified him. And, I mean, there's a lot that went along with that. But he said things that people didn't want him to say. He left towns when people, you know, he would travel and heal people and teach. And the town would say, please stay with us. Because they're like, this is great. He's healing everyone. We want to, like, keep this going, but he would leave because he knew that that was not his ultimate purpose. That was a part of his ministry and his work on the earth, but he knew what he was ultimately there for. And if he had just stayed in one town for his whole life and lived to be an old man and died, then we would not have the gospel, and he would not have died for us on the cross. So that would be a huge bummer for all of us. So he left. People wanted him to stay, and he would say no. He also left towns when people were not open to him. In Matthew 13, it says he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So, you know, he didn't push it on people. He didn't say, like, you will believe. But he said, okay, you guys aren't open, so I'm going to go to a town that is open. You know, people would gather, and there'd be these huge crowds, and they'd be like, where's Jesus? And he'd be up by himself praying. In Luke 5, it says, even more, the report about his went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. So he was putting on his own oxygen mask, is what I think he was doing. Because even though he was fully divine, he was also fully man, and he had those limitations that humans have. He needed sleep. He needed rest. He got tired. Like, I love that story where he's just passed out in the boat in the middle of the storm. It's like, he got tired. And so, you know, he said no to people. And he didn't just give whenever he was asked. And God also, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, God sets boundaries. He defines himself as separate and distinct from others. You know, the word holy, it literally means set apart. So God says, I am holy. And he asks his people, the Israelites, to also be holy. He's saying, you are going to be different. You're going to be distinct from the rest of the world, from the other tribes who do not follow me. So he sets up very clearly, you know, who he is. And he tells us what he thinks, feels, plans, allows, will not allow, likes and dislikes. So the Ten Commandments, those are boundaries. You know, he's saying, these are things that you should not do. And then just in the law in general, throughout Deuteronomy, there's a whole passage in Deuteronomy 11 that talks about blessings and curses, where he just says, you know, he's basically laying out the logical consequences, like a good parent. You know, he says, you know, if you do this, if you follow me, like, it will go well for you. But if you turn from me and worship other idols and engage in these practices that these other nations are engaging in, then it's not going to go so well for you. So those are boundaries. He's not just like, yeah, everyone just do whatever you want. It's fine. I just love you all. He's like, I love you, so I'm going to tell you what's up because I love you too much to just leave you on your own to figure it out. Same with us. Like, if, again, I just use the metaphor of children because it's so clear. Parents who don't ever tell their children, like, how to be in the world, that makes them feel very uncomfortable and very unsafe. But when kids know what's expected of them, they feel freedom. And my friend has a little 2-year-old girl, and she always tells her expectations. And this little girl is a firecracker, and we'll go to the beach or we'll go hiking around here. And she'll run off, but she knows to what point she needs to stop and come back. And so she has all this freedom, and she's so brave because she knows her mom's there, and her mom has told her, like, what's okay and what's not okay. So she'll run off and be free, and then she'll come back and be like, hey, Mom, and then run away again and come back. And so when we have those boundaries, it actually feels more free because we know what we can and can't do. So we don't have to be so tentative or careful, or like, I don't know if this is okay. So that's another way that boundaries can be life-giving, because if I know, and in our relationships, you know, if I know that this is okay with this person but this is not, then I don't have to be questioning, like, oh, is that okay for me to say that or to ask that? I can just do it because I know what their line is. And so God does that with us. He lets us know where the line is for him. And I see that as incredibly loving. God set boundaries for relationships in Genesis. It talks about man must leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. So even God sets up these boundaries for our family relationships. And that's something that comes up a lot. I have people talk to me about their adult children and how do we adjust now that our children are adults and the relationship has shifted. And God has given us some instructions for that. And so God sets boundaries. Jesus set boundaries. And so it is not unloving or unchristlike to say no to some things. And again, this is where we do need to check our hearts. It's, am I saying no to this because I really, like, it is actually going to be the best thing for me and this other person? Or am I saying no to be spiteful or because I'm mad at them and I'm being passive aggressive? And, you know, only you and God can truly know that. And so we do have to check ourselves. And that's why tomorrow we'll talk about being aware of, you know, our feelings, our priorities, our values, and how that's going to help us know how and when to say yes and when to say no. And having boundaries actually does lead to being more compassionate and caring towards others. And, you know, we've talked about how it's not selfish for that reason, but I don't know if anyone's heard of Brené Brown, but yeah, she's queen. But she does, like, research on things that people never thought they could measure, like shame and resiliency. And in her studies, she found that the people, she calls them wholehearted, she found that the people who were the most wholehearted, you know, who had the most empathy and compassion, also had the best boundaries. And which, again, seems like, how can that be? But again, if you are really honoring yourself and honoring others, then you're not going to have that resentment. And so your empathy and compassion and caring is coming from this, you know, overflowing well of love that you have. Whereas if you feel like people just keep taking and taking and taking, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And so if I say yes to someone and I really mean it, I feel love for them. But when I say yes to someone but I don't really mean it, I feel obligation. I don't really feel that excited to be with them. And again, sometimes obligation has a place, like in our jobs. Like, yeah, you have to do things you don't want to do, right? As a parent, you got to do things you don't want to do. Like, I'm pretty sure most people aren't, like, stoked on changing dirty diapers or, like, things like that. So, yeah, we do think it's not going to be like, baby, my boundary is just, like, I can only change 3 diapers today, so if you could learn to control your bodily functions, that'd be great. Respect my boundaries. No, that's not going to happen. But I'm glad you guys are laughing. I'm like, yes, I'm kidding. Yeah, but when we're being honest with what we can and can't do and what we are and are not okay with, you know, we're not going to be resentful. We're not going to have that destructive anger towards others. Again, we're going to take responsibility for our choices, and this is something that I've developed of just realizing I was mad at someone, and then I was like, wait, am I okay to be, like, is it fair for me to be mad at them? Because sometimes it is okay to be mad with people, and again, we'll talk about that more tomorrow, but I was like, well, did they have any idea that what they were doing was bothering me? No, because I never told them. So they had no idea. I was out of town for my boyfriend's birthday, and we had a party. It was great, and I was just really tired. I'm a little more introverted, and I met all these new people, and so it was like midnight, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. You're all great. And a group of people stayed up and were in the hot tub and playing music, and the music kept getting louder, so their voices got louder. And they just had no awareness. And 3 hours later, I finally went down there and told them, like, hey, I can hear, like, everything, and I haven't been able to sleep. But before I did that, I was so mad. I was like, they're so inconsiderate. I can't believe how they're acting. But I'm like, and I was able to stop myself and say, do they have any idea that they're keeping me awake? No, because all the windows are closed. Like, the room I'm staying in is, like, far away, so they're probably just assuming that I'm asleep right now. And so I was still frustrated, but I wasn't frustrated at them. So again, I was taking responsibility. It was my choice to not go down there sooner. If I had gone down there after, like, 30 minutes, they probably would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry, we'll turn down the music. Yeah, we'll be more aware. And then if I had done that and they kept getting loud, then, yeah, being mad at them maybe would be a little more valid. But they had no idea, so that's not really fair for me to be mad at them. So I was able to be more patient and compassionate with them because I was able to, you know, again, set that boundary with myself of, wait, what's my responsibility here? And what's their they're not responsible to read my mind and to be like, Ariana is still awake. Maybe we have something to, no, that's not their job, and it's not possible. So just, if nothing else, keep in your mind, boundaries lead to more compassion and caring towards others. One of my favorite sayings, and this is from the Boundaries book, so it's not an Ariana original, is poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. So often, and I used to work for a church, and I really wish I had had this phrase back then, because I was the lowly intern, so I felt like I had to say yes to everything. But people would be like, last minute, be asking for things. I helped lead our gatherings on Sunday mornings, you know, and I'd be in the office all week, and whoever was speaking and doing stuff could say, oh, can we have this, this, and this in the gathering? And I'd be like, yep, and that was my job to make it happen. But I would get texts at like 10 o'clock on Saturday night saying, oh yeah, I forgot to ask for this. I see some people being like, no, like, that's not okay. And you're right, it wasn't okay. And it took me a while to realize, like, it is okay for me to just not respond to that, because I made myself available to them for 4 days, you know, and they didn't utilize me. So again, people learn how to treat us based on what we accept from them. So I kind of had to train the people in my church, like, hey, I'm here for you. I want to do my job. If you need anything for Sunday, ask me Monday through Thursday. I will absolutely get it done for you. After Thursday, I am not available to you until Sunday morning. And so I've told them that, and then they still were texting me on Saturday night, though, because those are just words. So I actually had to let them experience that. And yeah, and it changed, and it made me like the people I worked with a lot more. So again, I didn't have to have that resentment or feel mistreated because I was holding that boundary and respecting myself. So again, this goes back to taking responsibility for ourselves. So if someone comes and is like, oh, I totally forgot to do this and this and this, can you do that for me? And blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we'll get so wrapped up and like, oh yeah, this person's in crisis, I need to do this for them. But, you know, that's not necessarily true. And there's a passage in Ephesians that talks about bear one another's burdens. And sometimes that is a verse that we can take out of context and used to justify, like, but I'm supposed to bear their burden. Like, that's what good Christians do. And absolutely. But later on in that passage, it says, everyone should bear his own load. And I did a word study with a mentor of mine, and she showed me that burden, when it says bear one another's burdens, that's talking about, like, these big life issues, you know, where life does become unmanageable. Like maybe someone gets sick or loses a job or just something really big happens. Whereas when it says load, those are the normal day-to-day life responsibilities. And so there is some distinction. So absolutely, I had a friend who got in a horrible car accident and got a traumatic brain injury. And she had PTSD from that. And she was going to therapy over the hill. Sorry, over the hill means San Jose. I'm like, oh yeah, you're not from here. And going over Highway 17, which is windy. I call it the death trap. I used to work and go to school over there, so I'm like, I can't believe I'm alive. you know, and so I chose when I was available, I drove her over the hill to go to her therapy appointments because I'm like, yeah, that is a burden. You know, but again, if I couldn't do it, I didn't feel guilty. But if I had a day when I was free, I would do it. That was a burden. Her traumatic brain injury and her PTSD, that's not a normal day-to-day thing. So real quick, I want to go over some more specific boundary problems, and I've kind of talked about them as I've gone. But the first one is compliance, and these are people who say yes to everything, and who really feel like it's selfish to say no. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't set boundaries or say no. It might be a fear of rejection or abandonment. A lot of times we don't even know they're possible. When I tell people, well, could you say no? They're like, what? Like, that's the most, like, I never knew that was possible. And so often we're never given permission. And so we don't think it's possible. Maybe we grew up in a family where we weren't allowed to say no or set boundaries. Or we learned it's not okay, or it is selfish, or it's unloving. Or we don't want to hurt people's feelings. That is a big one. We don't want to hurt people's feelings or make them mad. Another one of my favorite sayings is, just because someone is mad at you doesn't necessarily mean you did something wrong. So going back to my example with my dad, when I said, you know, I'm not going to stay with you anymore, he got really mad. And so I had to check myself, because my initial reaction was guilt, because that's just how I, you know, what I learned in my family of origin, to, you know, if people were mad, oh, it was my responsibility to make them not mad. And, you know, I was like, well, is there anything spiteful in what I'm doing? Am I trying to hurt him? No, I am trying to preserve our relationship. So I'm doing nothing wrong here. I talked to people I trusted. I ran it by other people. I was like, does this feel like I'm doing anything mean or hurtful. And they're like, no, it sounds like you're doing what you need to do. And I'm like, okay, great. So it's so easy for us when someone's mad at us to jump to guilt or, oh, I must be wrong. And that's not always true. Sometimes it is. So again, this is not free license to be like, well, that's your problem if you're mad at me, and to act however you want. No. But it's something that you can stop and be like, really examine your actions and say, well, is there any validity to their anger at me, or is this more about them? Also, we may not do it because it feels mean or selfish, like we talked about. Maybe we're used to taking responsibility for things that we're not responsible for, like other people's choices and other people's feelings. And again, this can come up with adult children, maybe, you know, because you're used to doing a lot for your kid, but as they get older, they need to become more independent. And so I see a lot of boundary violations, you know, when kids don't ever really learn how to be responsible because parents keep doing everything for them. And sometimes they love that, and sometimes the kids are like, Mom, stop it, I'm fine. Like, I can do it myself. And it's understandable because you're so used to doing it a certain way. You know, so it makes sense why that happens. We also might have a fear of being shamed or punished, you know, if boundaries are seen as not okay. And some quotes, this quote from the book, the Boundaries book, it says, God wants us to be compliant from the inside out, which is compassionate, not compliant on the outside, and resentful on the inside, which is a false sense of sacrifice. So again, going, you know, letting our inside match our outside and not just faking it on the outside to look really spiritual and loving, but then having all this resentment and anger on the inside. So then we have avoidance. And these are people who say no to the good. So this is the people who have the wall that has no windows or doors. And these people also, they may not ask for help. So they may not help anyone with anything, but they also won't ask for help or ask for support. Also, sometimes there can be a combination of someone who is both compliant and avoidant, and that might look like they'll be compliant with everyone else and do anything that's asked of them, but then they'll have very rigid boundaries with themselves, which is always so interesting. I'm like, I have clients all the time who are just like, well, it's not, I can't ask for that. And I'm like, how would you respond if someone asked that of you? They'd be like, oh, well, I'd be happy to do it. Why are you so special that, like people wouldn't do that for you? It's so funny how we do that. And, you know, that can just result in burnout and just feeling isolated and having nothing left to give. So that's a really tricky combination because you're just giving and giving and never receiving. And again, when you're avoidant, you miss out on the good. If you say no to everything, you're going to miss out on some good things. And you're going to miss out on feeling loved and supported by others. And then we have controllers. And these are people who have a hard time respecting other people's boundaries. They don't hear the no. And like the stereotype is like, if you've ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know, where the fiance comes in and the mom's like, oh, like, are you hungry? And he's like, oh, no, I'm good. And she's like, okay, I fix you something. You know, it's like she doesn't hear the no. And I know there's like cultural things in there. But and this is, a lot of times Christians get into this. And they're like, I'm just helping people like Jesus wants me to. But we really have to ask ourselves, am I wanting to help for this person's sake or for myself? Because many of us get our sense of validity and self-worth from being useful and helpful to others. And I am a recovering controller. And this is where if you know what codependency is, which is a word that gets thrown around a lot, but codependents are often controllers where we're control freaks. So I'm a recovering control freak. And I really Jesus really convicted me because I was like, well, I'm so loving, you know, I help everyone and people want to talk to me about their problems. But Jesus revealed to me that I liked people talking to me about my problems because it made me feel good about myself. And it's not wrong to feel good when you help people, but if that is your driving force, that's not a good place to be. Because then I would get mad when I wasn't appreciated or it wasn't reciprocated. And so, or, you know, because a lot of times I'd be doing things for others that they didn't even really want me to do. And so it's important for us to really hear, like, well, what does this person actually need? And am I helping or am I making it worse? Or am I overstepping my, you know, the bounds that they've set for me? Am I doing something for them that really they should be doing for themselves? And then we have non-responsives. And these are people who just don't hear the needs of others at all. So it's a little different from avoidant, because they're just kind of like, you know, they don't even need a wall because they're just like somewhere else. And this is kind of opposite end of the spectrum from compliant. You know, they don't even see that there's a need. These are the people who might just be like, well, I'm not responsible for you. But really, they're talking about responsible to you. And again, the problem with this is that can be a very isolating, lonely place. And I believe that God did design us to need each other and to rely on each other in appropriate ways. And so if you're avoidant or non-responsive, you're really missing out on that connection and that I think we are designed to flourish with. So I just blew through those four categories because I was like, oh, I'm almost out of time. But I just want to ask, I always like to close with a song because it kind of just pulls everything together. But before I do that, are there any questions or comments on anything I've talked about so far?
Are you going to address tomorrow anything about boundaries on our feelings, not just doing things?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for saying that. I love talking about feelings. So, yeah, we will talk about that because there's also, we have boundaries with others, but again, we have boundaries with ourselves. And again, my example of getting mad at these people, but then checking myself and being like, well, is this appropriate? Is this fair? No. So, yeah, we do need to set boundaries with ourselves sometimes. And my dad learned to set boundaries with his anger, and he even talked to me. He was upset with someone, and he said, I need to find a way to talk to them about this that doesn't send them running off into the darkness. And my dad's very overdramatic and poetic, and I love him. But I love that. I do love him. But, you know, I really appreciated his taking responsibility for his anger and saying, I'm really angry at this person. And that doesn't give me permission to just lose it at them. Like, it's okay to be, and tomorrow we will talk about, it is okay to be angry. But it's, again, putting boundaries on how we express that anger and what do we do with it, because every emotion has a purpose. So we will talk about that tomorrow. Any other questions before I close this with a song? Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, we'll probably talk a little more about that. But kind of like my example with working for the church, and, you know, I told them, like, whoops, I'm connected. Okay. Boundaries. I can't go any further. you know, I told them, you know, this is what's okay with me and what's not. They still were texting me on Saturday. But then I had to really show them. I couldn't just tell them my boundaries. I had to show them what my boundaries were. So sometimes people won't respect them and they'll still push, but then it's finding, and again, every situation's different, but for me, I had to actually like follow through on the actual behavior associated with my boundary, because people will, the people who don't respect your boundaries and get angry when you set them are probably the people who benefit the most from you not having boundaries. So it really benefited those people at the church that I just did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, because then they didn't have to take responsibility or they didn't really have to, you know, be organized. And so when I started having boundaries, that forced them to be more organized. That was uncomfortable at first, but it was good. So we will talk a little more about that tomorrow, but that is a reality. And, you know, I talk to people about, you know, well, if that, I had a client whose sister would become kind of verbally and emotionally abusive. And so she was going to have breakfast with her, and, you know, I said, okay, so what do you need to feel safe? because that's a need. Tomorrow we'll talk also about our needs. And she's like, I just need to know that I don't have to put up with that. And I was like, okay, so if you start feeling uncomfortable, you can say like, hey, I feel like you're starting to get upset with me and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. Like, can we calm down? Like, I don't like the way you're talking to me. And if your sister continues, you can say, okay, I'm gonna go home because I don't really want to be spoken to this way, and I'll call you, you know, in a couple days. And of course her sister was livid, but that was okay. And what mattered was her sister was still being that way, but she didn't have to be there for it. She didn't have to be there for the temper tantrum. So we find ways to still have our boundaries despite, like, other people are going to do what they're going to do, but we do have choices and control over what we do. And there's some situations where it's not perfect, you know. It's more complicated than that. So we will talk more about that tomorrow if any of you would like to come back. And, of course, there's so many great seminars. Like, I'm, like, watching. I'm like, I want to go to that one. Like, oh, yeah, I have to teach one. I get to teach one. I love doing this. So if you can't come back tomorrow, that's absolutely fine. If you've never read the Boundaries book, it's excellent, and they do give lots of practical, examples and advice. So with that, I think with our last few minutes, and if you do need to, I'm really pushing us to 12:15, so if you do need to slip out and go get your kids or whatever, please feel free, but I like to close with this song, because it paints everything so well. So maybe, and the lyrics will be up here, so just see if you can identify any of the boundary issues.
I gave all my oxygen to people that can breathe. I gave away my money and now we don't even speak. I drove miles and miles, but would you do the same for me? Oh, offered up my shoulder just for you to cry upon. Gave you constant shelter and a bed to keep you warm. Can you return? I gave a song. It goes on and on. Life can get you down, so I just know. Drowned with a drink and out-of-date prescription pills. And all the ones that love me, they just left me on the shelf. A farewell. So before I say someone else, I've got to save myself. I gave you all my energy and I took away. As human beings are destined to radiate or drain. And what line do we stand upon? Because from here it looks the same. And only scars remain.
So I could have just played you guys that song and been like, okay, we're done. But I love that. We gotta love ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means you have to start loving and caring for yourself. So thank you so much for being here. I hope to see some of you tomorrow, but if not, have a wonderful week and go enjoy lunch.